Grace and peace be with you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we meditate on our gospel reading from Luke chapter 5. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your word to us. We thank you that we've been able to hear that word today through our readings, and we pray now for open ears and open hearts and open minds to receive it once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Many people seem to have at least one good fishing story they can tell. Either it's about the one that got away, or the one that in some cases didn't get away, something like that. I don't quite have a story like that, but I do remember once being invited on a fishing charter. And the charter left early one Saturday morning off Warina Cove down south, and it almost left without me. Because I slept through my alarm, I missed my ride, the person who was giving me a ride, and had to find my own way down there. I got there just with a few minutes to spare, but in that rush, I'd forgotten to pack any warm clothes, I'd forgotten to pack almost everything I needed for a day out fishing. On the way out, I'd grabbed the only thing I could find for lunch, which was two frozen Cornish pasties. And of course, there's no place to cook two frozen Cornish pasties when you're out on a boat all day, but I didn't think about that. And two semi-defrosted Cornish pasties does not make a very good lunch, trust me. I was a real amateur. The fishing was surprisingly good, but that's because I was surrounded by people who knew what they were doing. The fishing story is not one I repeat too often for obvious reasons. Many people seem to have at least one good fishing story they can tell, maybe more. But none of them quite compare to that of Peter, James, and John in today's reading. The day that Jesus took them out on a private fishing charter on the Lake of Gennesaret, a lake you probably know better as the Sea of Galilee. Most fishing stories begin by setting the scene, and this one does as well. One day, as Jesus was standing by the Lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. Now, it's still early days in Jesus' ministry, but already the crowds are coming to listen. Already the crowds are attracted to what this man has to say and to teach them. Luke describes it already at this stage as the word of God. They're there listening to the word of God. Now Jesus saw, it says, at the water's edge, two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. Net washing was one of the regular tasks of the first century fishermen. Jesus got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore, and then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. At the very start of this story, we get this gradual movement from the shore to the sea. And from the many people gathered to the few people out on the boat, we get this movement from those who were listening to the word of God to those who will soon be asked to put that word into practice. One commentator writes, "From the crowds emerge the disciples. From the many emerge the few who Jesus is going to take and teach and mold into the messengers he wants them to be." They were ordinary people, hardworking people, people like you and I, but people through whom Jesus chose from the start to do his extraordinary work. Now, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deeper water and let down the nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When someone's telling their fishing story, often they have to set the scene, and they sometimes go into great detail about what it was like, and the scene is set. And then next comes the struggle or the tension in the story, right? There's always a point at which you wonder, which way is this going to go? Success or failure? Right? Are they going to bring home a whole lot of fish, or are they going to be left floundering and whole failure? For Peter, there's also a struggle going on, but it's not just a struggle about the fishing, it's also a struggle about his own experience and knowledge. Because he's the fisherman here. He's been out all night long, and he knows that night's a good time to fish, and if you haven't caught anything at night, the chances of catching anything in the morning are very small. And so what Jesus is asking him to do is to go against every shred of his own experience and his own knowledge and his own wisdom, what he thinks, what he knows, what he feels, and Jesus says, I want you right now to do the opposite. It's a challenging word for Peter. You think of where they are as well in their work day. They're at the end of it. They've washed their nets. They're done. They're going home. They're tired, no doubt, from a whole night out fishing. And Jesus says, just one more time. Let's just go out a little bit deeper and throw these nets in one last time. I can't imagine, I don't know that many professional fishermen, but I can't imagine they like being given advice from amateur fishermen. That's what's going on here, right? Who is this Jesus from Nazareth, the carpenter's son, hopping on the boat and telling us how to do our jobs? I can't imagine that that would go down particularly well in most situations, but what does Peter do? Because you say so, I will let down the nets. Because you say so. Not because I think it's a good idea. Not because my experience tells me that it's going to work. Not because I feel like doing it, because I really don't at this point in my day. But because you say so, I will let down these nets. You know, it must have been hard for Peter to go against that life of experience and that knowledge that he had, because I know it's hard for us as well to go against the experience, our knowledge, our opinions, what we think, what we feel, what's important to us, what we want, and instead to listen to this guy, Jesus, who has hopped aboard the boats of our lives and instructed us in a certain direction. All of a sudden, when we are in his presence, what we think and we know and we feel and we want, it's all secondary to what he thinks and he knows and he feels and he wants, because that's what it means to follow and to have a master and a Lord. Because you say so, I will let down the nets. And when they'd done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and they filled both boats so full that they began to sink. Now something about this does have an air of truth in terms of what I know fishermen to be like. And that is that when the fishing's good, nothing else matters, right? Experience doesn't matter. Knowledge doesn't matter. The fact that you're tired doesn't matter. Personal safety doesn't matter. The fishing's good. We're staying here, right? The nets can be breaking. The boats are sinking, right? The lines are breaking and the waves are crashing and the sharks can be circling and it doesn't matter because the fishing's good. So we're in. We're in. Now, these guys do something that I've never seen a fishing boat do, and that is to tell another fishing boat where the fishing's good. I'm over here, guys, all right? They're biting. The point is, and at this point in the story, this miracle that's happening also turns into a parable about the kingdom of God, in which drawing others in is critical. Right? Partnership. Come on, be part of this. Let's cooperate, all right? Let's work together. This is the kingdom of God we're working for. So Peter doesn't fly solo here, but he invites others to help bring in this catch, to rejoice in this catch, and to take part in it, to be part of its miraculous nature as well. Now, from the outside, people might have been looking at this thinking, you know, Peter's the hero of this story. But we know from the telling of it, and Peter knows from the experience of it, who the real hero is in this story, where the real knowledge came from and the wisdom came from to do what it was they did. When Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." For he and his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. It's interesting, isn't it, this reaction of Peter? You know, Last week we heard about Jeremiah. And when Jeremiah was called by God, his first response was to object to it. I'm too young, Lord. I can't speak, Lord. When we heard about Isaiah this morning, his first response to the call of God to be a prophet was to object to it. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And today, Peter, before he even gets called to follow Jesus, is resisting it. Lord, get away from me, right? There's something about being in the presence of God, and particularly the powerful presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, that makes us incredibly aware of what we are not, of who we truly are, and resists it and wants to run and hide from it. I speak to some people sometimes who stay very clear of the church for this very reason. You know, we might think that people don't come to Christ and people don't come to Jesus because they don't recognize that they need him. They don't see their own sin and those sort of things in their life. But I've heard plenty of people talk in the opposite terms. They don't want to come because they know who they are and they know what they are. And coming into the presence of God in that state is a difficult thing, a fearful thing for people. What's going to happen? You know, what's it going to be like? Certainly for Peter, that's the experience. You recognize power when you see it, and you recognize something stronger than yourself when you see it, and to come into the presence of that thing can be a difficult experience. It certainly was for him. Stand clear, Jesus, right? You don't know what you're getting yourself into with me. You don't know what you're getting yourself into, but of course, Jesus does, and Jesus chooses to get involved. It's not about the fishing anymore, right? They've moved on from the fishing. It's now about people and the personal interaction that's taking place here when Jesus comes and speaks his life-changing word to us. It can be a confronting word. It can be a challenging word. It can be a difficult word for us to hear. And yet what comes next for Peter is the most calming word, soothing word, gentle word from Jesus on that boat when he says, "Do not be afraid, Peter." There's nothing to fear coming into the presence of a gracious God. There's nothing to fear. Our instinct is to run 100 miles in the other direction when we should be running 100 miles in his direction. Because he says, "I'm here to help you. I'm here for you. I'm not against you. I'm here to soothe you, to calm you, to forgive you. Trust me. Step into my gracious presence." And so Peter does. And this is what he hears. "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. From now on, Peter, you're coming with me. From now on, your life is under a higher authority. From now on, you're living with me. There are things we're going to do together, Peter, and I want you to be part of this. Leave the rest behind and come follow me." It's not about the fishing anymore, it's about the people. Now, maybe every good fishing story is really about the people, the heart of it. I think also every good fishing story has a bit of a surprise somewhere in it. A surprise at the end, and this one certainly does. This is what it says. "They pulled their boats onto the shore and left everything and followed him." Now, it might not sound surprising to you because you've probably heard the story before, but they left everything and followed him. They left their boats, right? They left their nets. This was their livelihood. This was everything to them. And they left it. And they followed him. The miracle in this story isn't just in the net. The miracle is in what Jesus was doing in their lives. In Peter's life. In the life of every disciple after him. And in your life as well. Jesus calls us to a life of discipleship. That is a life of following and a life of learning from our Master. It's a life that involves leaving things behind. And that can be difficult. And there are things all of us need to leave behind. And there are things we need to continually leave behind as we seek to take up his call to follow him. The call to be a disciple of Christ is a call to follow the pattern of Peter and the others that were there that day in listening, firstly, to the word of God. learning from that word, learning to be doers of that word, being confronted by that word, struggling with that word, grappling, but eventually having Christ overcome our struggles and difficulties, confessing our sins to be forgiven by him and encouraged and uplifted and directed into the rest of our lives. Jesus calls us to this life lived in close proximity to him, where we find him everywhere. In an ordinary book, right? Like we said with the kids, words on a page, it doesn't seem that incredible to us, but it is. Water in a font that can baptize people into life with Christ, it's an amazing thing. Bread and wine that sits there on the altar and then is blessed by him and becomes something extraordinary. People like you and I through whom he does his work. It might look all very ordinary to us, but this is how the Creator of heaven and earth chooses to operate. Through fishermen, through you, through me, going about our daily lives. Jesus calls each one of us to come and live our life with him, to follow him, to learn from him, to grow in him, to study with him, to struggle with him, to make our decisions with him, to invite others to him as well, to grow with him, to fish with him, so that our fishing story becomes his fishing story, the story of the man who came and caught us with his grace and promises to never throw us back. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son into this world to live among us as a human being, to enter our existence. Lord, we thank you that you have called us also to follow him. Please help us as we take up that call in our daily lives, as we struggle with various sins or things that cause us grief, and as we come into his presence to receive his grace and mercy and peace again this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.